All week long, we've been talking about the 2010 census, and we wanted to leave you with some big picture perspective on the conversations we've had so far. Today, we have Nate Persily, professor of law and politics at Columbia University, and he's here in our studio. And on the phone with us is Ken Pruitt, the director of the 2000 census. So, Nate and Ken, here's a taste of what politicians and commentators are saying earlier this year, about half a year before. This is Glenn Beck and Representative Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota.
So let me talk about the census, because there's a lot of people that are concerned with it.
I think there is a point when you say enough is enough to government intrusion.
They're not comfortable with ACORN members coming to find out all this information. They don't want to give the government all this kind of information.
Does the federal government really need to know our phone numbers? Do they really need to know, like you said, the date and time that we leave, mental stability? You know the one question that's not on this survey, Glenn? Are you a U.S. citizen?
So, Nate, what is this anxiety about?
Well, I think a lot of politicians are looking at the census and sort of piling into it all kinds of other political controversies. And so it's not uncommon that issues, for example, of immigration and citizenship then become viewed through the lens of the census, and then also, in this case, fears of the government intrusion. But the census is in the Constitution. It is one of the few obligations of the federal government. So these aren't new processes that the country is going through.
I must interfere for a second here. Can Congresswoman Bachmann really believe that we can't find, that is anybody in the country that wants to find out how old she is, what her telephone number is, what her gender is, what her race is, can't find that, for heaven's sakes? Is she really giving the government something that's highly private and confidential?
I'm going to answer that, Ken. No, I think we can Google it.
It's political gamesmanship.
But there is an odd thing about the census survey this year, and that's the categories of race.
Well, they're not different than they were last time, but the census race categories have evolved over time, and they are in some ways politically determined. I mean, the why we count certain people as one thing or another, why we count Hispanics not as a race, for example, is a political decision.
Ken, why do these racial categories seem so strange?
They've been around since 1790 in one way or the other. Subgroups, ethnic groups come and go depending. We counted the Hindus for a while, late 19th century. We counted mulattoes and quadroons and octoroons. Those categories come and go depending upon, as Nate says, the politics of the time and indeed the demographic profile of the time. There are four core race groups in this society, and they've been in this society one way or the other for almost 200 years. They have not changed. I believe they should change.
Can we do race better?
Of course.
How do we do it?
We ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Why are we counting by race? And it turns out there are two separate reasons. One reason is there are lingering, serious disparities across population groups because of discriminatory practices and the legacy of course, slavery, of the treatment of the American Indian, and so forth. In addition, there's a very major question about the assimilation of new Americans, acculturation, assimilation, integration, whatever we want to call it. Very, very important to know whether new immigrants coming to the country are learning to read, making their way in the labor market, and so forth. We have a single question that's trying to do both of those things, both track assimilation and simultaneously detect discrimination. And I think we ought to ask two separate sets of questions to deal with those different purposes, and they will have different categories.
You know, one of the issues, Nate, with the census each time is that people kind of fudge numbers, or they use census numbers, or maybe try to work the system in a certain way to make their census count come out the way they want to. And we're kind of seeing an example of that in Minnesota. Minnesota is in danger of losing a congressional seat. And so they're asking their retirees, snowbirds who go to Florida, asking them to make sure they fill out their census, listing Minnesota as their address where they are right now. Here's Tom Scheck. He's with Minnesota Public Radio and speaking on this show.
If these snowbirds who live 8-9 months in Minnesota fill out their census form in March or April when they're in Arizona or the other southern state, what they're going to find is that the census is going to be taken, that those folks are going to be recognized in Arizona or Florida, wherever. And what the folks in Minnesota are doing is saying, you know what, don't fill out your census form while you're living there. Wait till you come back during Easter, April, whenever, and then fill it out there, because then you could be counted in Minnesota.
if we can kind of jimmy the system this way, then it's not a true count, is it?
Well, let's think for a second why they're doing this, which is that Minnesota's afraid of losing a congressional seat. So at the last stages of determining representation in Congress, maybe a few thousand people will make a difference. These types of efforts, though, I think you're going to find are not terribly successful. There is a rule, which is where are you on, where is your residence on April 1st, 2010? And that is, you know, the where the person should count themselves.
Ken Pruitt, what do you think about that? Can the census numbers be kind of jimmied with?
Not easily, for heaven's sakes. The 300 million Americans out there are being counted, some of whom are paying attention, many of whom aren't. No. To try to actually manipulate the fundamental count that gives us our representational process strikes me as a fool's errand.
Ken Pruitt, I mean, you were the director of the census before. Can you kind of speak to all the people out there who are feeling anxious about the census? Maybe they're an illegal immigrant. Maybe they are in prison. Maybe they are a minority. Can you kind of lay some of their fears to rest?
The census, the decennial census, for over 200 years has been a nonpartisan, highly professional starting point for what becomes a very intensely partisan outcome, i.e. representation and elections. That is fine. The outcome should be partisan because, after all, we are a democracy. We allow different interests to express their views and to try to send representatives to Washington. The census itself has to be a fair count from the beginning in order to make the political process work well. So I think people who are anxious are not anxious about the census themselves. They're anxious about the outcome. But the only thing I can say to the American people is, for heaven's sakes, let's get it started on the right foot. Let's simply try to count all 300 plus million people who live in this country on April 1st, where they live. And then let the politics use the numbers in ways that make sense in a political process, arguing about how many of this or that or who ought to get what benefits and so forth, all of which is fair game. But it doesn't help anybody for it to get off on the wrong foot. So everybody, for heaven's sakes, mail the form back in.
I'd agree with that and say that, look, either you count or you don't. And if you don't fill out your census form, you won't be counted, and the government won't have information to make decisions. It won't have information to make decisions about health care, all kinds of things about the makeup of the United States. And unless we have accurate census data, we won't really know who lives where.
What if I'm afraid of what the government's doing with that
Well, they're not going to use information about you personally. It's just a question of whether we're going to make good public policy based on incomplete information or full information.
Well, there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. Thanks so much. Nate Persily is a professor of law and politics at Columbia University. Ken Pruitt was the director of the census in 2000 and is currently a professor of public affairs at Columbia University.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.